join us for Sunday service. We're especially glad to see any one of you. If this is your first time here at ACC, welcome. Hopefully this is a place for you to worship God freely and to seek more about who he is in your life. In a moment, we're going to be heading over to Genesis chapter 4. I just want to give you a heads up on that. But this past weekend, it's really neat to see how God just kind of pours divine appointments in your life and just to see how he uses that. So this past weekend, Wyatt got a chance to play in this basketball tournament. So it's the whole weekend long, so there are tons of breaks in between. So one of the times I just got to sit there and waiting for his game to start, so got a chance to watch another game. And as I was sitting there watching the game, there was a father, actually the whole family that was just kind of sitting next to me. So we just started chit-chatting, started talking, and got to know a little bit about his family. He's from the Houston area, so they really enjoy coming up here to Austin, and so we got to talk a little bit about that. Obviously, after a while, he asked me, you know, what do I do for a living? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. So he kind of looks at me, stares at me for a little bit. Continue to watch the game, and then he looks at me and he goes, hey, pastor, got a question for you. Sure. And he goes, how do you know that what you're offering to God is pleasing to him? So like I said, it really encourages me when, especially when you get to talk to strangers that you've never met in your life, and then they proceed to actually ask you questions that have something to do with your sermon the following Sunday. So it works out so perfectly. So I look at him, and I just want to make sure that I understood him correctly. I said, can you repeat your question? And he said, how do you know that what you're offering to God is pleasing to him? So I ask him, well, what do you mean by that? What's the context to your question? And pretty much the summary of his question is this. His son is a talented basketball player. Talented. When I saw his kid play, he was like a man among boys. Literally a man among boys. You could tell that he was just a great basketball player. He was disciplined. He knew how to play. He knew what to do. Whereas the rest of the kids were just running around, you know, just trying to get layups. This kid knew how to play. He knew how to set up the plays. He knew how to pass the ball. He was just fundamentally sound. And he was a big, muscular kid. And as I was talking to the father was telling me, like, yeah, he's being recruited. He's being recruited. Now, this is a homeschool tournament, by the way. So to be recruited as a homeschooler is tough. Okay, it's tough. Normally, you have to be in a school to even get noticed. So he's a homeschooler. He doesn't play for any school, and yet he's being recruited. He plays on one of the top AAU teams in Houston, which is a travel basketball team. His name is being well known. So the dad is asking me, how do I know that my son, who is this talented basketball player, is being offered to God in a way that pleases the Lord? So as I got a chance to ask him more questions, as I got a chance to hear more of his thoughts, as I got a chance to just kind of hear his heartbeat, I've come to realize that this man was struggling because deep down, his desire is that his son will make the NBA one day. Okay, that's where it came down to make the NBA. I mean, how many of us could ever have those sorts of conversations, right? But he's sitting there wondering if his son could make the NBA one day. But then it's a struggle for him because deep down, he's also wondering, what if God has another plan for my son? God forbid that. God forbid that my son, who has this opportunity to play professionally, God forbid that the Lord that we worship actually might have a different plan for him. Then what? So in this half an hour of conversation, I could see this father just, this tension is just so heavy. He's trying to figure out, you know, this is what I think is best for my son. And then he's beginning to realize, what if God actually has a different plan for him? And then all this is tied together with this thing called offering. When we offer our lives to God, how do we actually know it pleases him? How do we actually know that what we are giving of ourselves to God honors him? And that's where our series comes into play, right? We just started this new series called Thrive, How to Live by Faith and Not in Fear. And this man's questions for me actually are his questions for God. And somehow I think he was looking for some sort of answer. Maybe I knew something that God knew, and I was going to tell him that it was going to be okay. That, yes, your son will play in the NBA. Don't worry about it. God is happy. God is pleased. But actually, the more questions I asked of him, he became more downcast. He became more unsure. Because this thought that maybe God has other plans for his son is weighing heavily on him. And this morning, we're going to read a story about a person whose life ended prematurely. But because of how he offered his life up to God, God was pleased and God was honored. Faith speaks. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to be reading from verses 1 to 12. And I'm going to quickly jump to Hebrews to kind of highlight what has happened in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Now quickly just turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Initially, I was going to entitle this sermon, Family Feud, Two Brothers Who Hated Each Other. I know what that means. I have a younger brother, and we fought a lot. I got two sons of my own. They fight a lot. Family Feud. I thought that would have been a clever title there. But we have a story here of two boys, two sons. This took place right after sin came into the world, right? And Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. This is now their new life outside of what would have been a perfect life for Adam and Eve. But God blesses them with two sons, one Cain, one Abel. And obviously this story is trying to attract our attention. It's trying to help us understand the contrast between one son versus the other son and how they lived a life in a way where their offering either pleased or did not please the Lord. So there are a number of things I want to highlight from this passage. And the first thing is the fact that both Abel and Cain actually offered an offering to God. Okay, let's not lose sight of that. I know it's easy to read the story and right away hammering Cain, but the fact of the matter is the story starts off with both Cain and Abel giving an offering to the Lord. And that's really important for us because when we're talking about how to live a life where we're going to thrive and flourish, when we're going to live a life when it comes to us living by faith, the first thing we need to understand is that there is something within us that wants to worship God. There is something within us, a desire, an instinct, whatever it is, that somehow points us back to God to worship Him. Now, there's nothing in this story that tells us that God taught them to offer, right? And maybe He did. Maybe God did teach them that they are called to offer an offering to Him. Maybe their parents, Adam and Eve, were taught by God to teach their kids to live a life of offering. But whatever it is, however they learned this, both Cain and Abel understood in their hearts, they had this desire that they want to offer an offering to God. And that is why that's very important for us as well. If you are to thrive, you need to understand that you are called, that your life is called to be a life of offering to the Lord. It starts there. So of course, if you are living right now and you're choosing not to offer your life up to God as an offering, you will not thrive. You will not thrive. You will not flourish in the way that God has called us to flourish. Here in Genesis chapter 4, it's very clear that God's desire is for us to worship Him. How so? By offering to Him. So if you're living your life and you're just coveting for yourself, you are just keeping things for yourself, there's nothing about your existence that is a life of offering to the Lord, then you are not pleasing Him. And if you are not pleasing Him, you will not thrive. You are not living by faith. Okay, so that's the first thing I want to highlight here. And the second thing I want to highlight is the fact that the very things that Abel and Cain offered to God were was all about who they are. The very thing that we learn about Abel here in chapter 4 is that he is a keeper of sheep. He is a shepherd. The one thing we know about Cain here is that he is a worker of the ground. He raised plants and food. But what was so cool about this is that both Cain and Abel, what they offered to God was who they were. As a shepherd, as someone who planted and grew food, both of them, their identity and who they were here on this earth was offered to God. So for us, it's not just that we have a desire to offer ourselves to God, but do we really believe that who we are, who you are, everything about what makes you who you are today, is that being offered to the Lord? Is that being offered to the Lord? It didn't say here that Abel was an engineer. It said he was a keeper of sheep. So what did he give to God? The firstborn of his flock and the fat portion. It didn't say that Cain was a nurse. He was a worker of the ground. So what did he offer God? The fruit of the ground. You see that? So the question we have to ask ourselves is, when you offer your life to the Lord, do you actually offer who you are to him? Or do you choose to offer something else that is not of you? Some of us were students. Do you offer who you are as a student, your education, your dreams about what you think you want to be? See, that was the question I asked this father. I asked, who do you think your son is? He's a basketball player, okay? If that's his identity, are you allowing him to give that as an offering to God? For some of you, you are working, you have your careers, you have your dreams. You want to make it past management. You don't want to just be a regular employee. You want to make it up there. You want to be achieve something. But let me ask you, if that is you, are you able to give that up as an offering to God? You see, Cain gave up who he was to God. And Abel gave up who he was as an offering to God. We don't get to decide what we think we want to give and offer to the Lord. God wants your life. God wants your life. Which means he knows who you are. He knows your dreams. He knows your heartbeat. He knows the desires that you want to be in your life. And he's saying, I want that. I want that. Give that to me. You desire for me? You desire after me? Give me the very things that make your heart beat. Give me the very things that make you who you are. Don't give me something that is not of you. Don't give me something that is not from you. Don't pretend that you are someone else and that's what you're offering to me. I want you. I want you. So again, inasmuch as we want to separate Cain and Abel in this story, at least in the beginning, we are learning that these two sons somehow learned that there is this innate desire from them to worship God, but what they want to offer to the Lord is who they were. Is who they were. Now, as we continue to read down the story, now we begin to see that there's this separation. Inasmuch as Cain had this desire to worship God, and inasmuch as he had a desire to give of his identity to the Lord, we read that God was not pleased, that he did not have a high regard for what Cain gave. Yes, Abel gave from who he was to the Lord, and God saw it, and he was pleased. Whatever Abel offered was something that really honored the Lord. Now, Cain started off in the same place. He had this innate desire to worship God. He knew who he was as a gardener, and he wanted to give that to the Lord, but there was something about what he gave to the Lord that did not please the Lord. Which is the third thing I want to highlight this morning. When we're talking about offering, when we are talking about living by faith, you and I, we don't get to decide whether God is going to be pleased with our offering. He gets to decide that. Let me say that again. When you're choosing to give your life as an offering to the Lord, you don't get to make that determination whether it's pleasing to God or not. God decides that. We are called to give of ourselves to the Lord, to honor him, to please him. So he gets to determine whether what we actually offered him is pleasing to him, right? That would make sense. But yet, so many times, we have it backwards. We think we have the authority to tell God, hey, God, I am offering you this part of my life, and it's good. So be happy. God, be joyful about what I'm about to give you, okay? Because I think it's pretty good. But what do? We just end up offering just a small part of our life, something that's easy, something that's safe, something that's not going to jar our lives. No, that's not how it works. When we offer something to the Lord, he gets to determine whether what we're offering to him is good and honoring and pleasing to him, not us. So I asked this father that question. I said, do you think that what you think you want to offer to God, your son, do you think that you're fully giving everything as an act of offering to the Lord? Do you think he will be pleased? He looks at me. He throws his question back at me. He goes, well, how about your son? I mean, isn't that your plan? That your son will be an NBA player? Okay, I laughed. I said, that's funny. I wish. No. I said, no. No. Yes, my son is playing in this tournament, but it's just a tournament. It's just a tournament. Yes, am I into it? Of course. Do I want them to win? Of course. It's just a tournament. I'm pretty certain that God has something else, something different for my son. But yes, your son is a talented player. Yes, he has so much he can offer. And yes, by all accounts, probably going to make a lot of money. Millions, if he projects in the way that the basketball experts project him to be. But I ask the Father, do you think that what you are currently offering to God, your son, is pleasing to God? Do you think so? Do you think that he's looking down from heaven right now and he's saying, Mr. Williams, I am pleased. I am pleased by what you are offering to me. Do you know that for certain, Mr. Williams? Do you know for certain that your son, Jamal, will be offered to God in the way that honors and pleases the Lord? And I opened Genesis chapter 4 and I said, Mr. Williams, open it right now and look at it. And you have to tell God right now, who are you in this story? Who are you? If you are able and you can say yes, that everything about who my son is, everything about who I am, everything about who my family is, I am offering up to the Lord. And the Lord responds back and says, Mr. Williams, I am honored by what you are giving me because you are sacrificing everything. You are giving me everything. Is that you, Mr. Williams? Or are you Cain? You think you're offering something that is pleasing to the Lord. But what if God comes back and says, nah, you're just giving me something that's safe, Mr. Williams. You are not risking. You're not giving me everything. You're not giving me your son. You're in control. For the longest time, he couldn't talk. For the longest time, Mr. Williams just kept staring at God's word, and he's reading this. And then finally he says, you know, the last time I read about Cain and Abel was when I was a kid at church. And I thought the story was just about these two brothers fighting and one person just killed the other and that's it. And yet I'm reading it again, really for the very first time in my life, and I'm realizing that this is me. This is me. You see, church, this story here of Cain and Abel. It's our story. It is my story. Every single day I wake up, every single day I make a decision about something, I have to ask myself, is what I'm about to do as an offering to the Lord my very best? So much so that when God responds, he is actually pleased with it. Or do you think that what I offer to God, God's going to respond back and say, really, Art, really? Is that what you can give me? That I am the King of Kings, I am the Lord of Lords, I am the Creator over all things, I am your Maker, I am your Lord, I am your Master, and this is what you can offer me? This is it? And yes, when I look back, I realize that I cop out in the things that I give God. I realize that the very things I give God are the easiest things, are the easiest moments, are the ones where I can just say, yeah, done. But see, what God is desiring of me is to offer my life where I no longer have control over it, where I no longer make it about myself anymore. But it's offering fully my life to say, God, it's all about you. And it is never about me. Forgive me for the many times I made it all about myself. Forgive me when I offered the easiest time in my schedule, that 1 minute before I have to head off to work, that 1 minute before I have to drive my kid to school, that 1 minute before I have to head off to class, that 1 minute that I am praying to you. But then I realize, what am I really giving to God? You see, God doesn't want that 1 minute. That's too easy, right? And yet, we are placing God in the easiest portions of our schedule. And we have the nerve to say to God, that's amazing, that's a great offering, God. How come you don't want it? How come you're not pleased? How come you're not honored? Church, in this moment in the story, we're going to have to choose whether we're Cain or Abel. We can offer. Actually, this is probably the easiest thing we can do. We can offer to God a lot of different things. But the question is really not, are we offering something? The question is, are we offering something that is so honoring and glorifying to God that God, in response to that offering, will say, you are a faithful servant, Art. You are a faithful servant, my daughter. You are a faithful servant, my son. You see, somewhere in this story, what Cain offered to God was not honoring. We don't know what happened. We don't know what it is. All we know is that whatever Cain offered to the Lord, God had no regard. God was not moved. God was not impressed. And all God said was, you didn't make this about me. Abel, your brother, made it about me. What he offered to me was so powerful that I know he made this offering about me, and I count Abel as living by faith. I count Abel as being righteous. Cain, well, you did what you did. Fourth point, looking at Cain's response. He was angry. His countenance, his face fell. You can tell. He thought. You could tell from Cain's response, he thought that what he was actually offering to God was amazing. That his offering of his life was amazing. He really believed it. And God's response to him was, and Cain was upset. His face fell. He didn't know what was going on. And the Lord says to him in verse 6, why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? Verse 7, if you do well, i.e., if you did what I ask you to do, you know, You know what kind of offering I desire, Cain. There was that desire in your heart to offer me. You know exactly what to offer me. Your brother did, and you know it too. Why are you upset? You knew what to do. And if you knew what to do and you did it well, I will be honored. I would be glorified. And I would be pleased with your life. You see, church, we know what to do. We know the kind of offering we need to give back to the Lord. If you've been here in this church long enough, when we say the word offering, right, we go way beyond your tithing. It's your life. It's sad when we get calls here at church at the end of the year, right before it's December 31st, and we literally get phone calls from church members, and this is their question. If I mail in my check, do you think I'll get a tax deduction this year? I know I'm cutting it close. I'm sorry. Do you think I will get a tax deduction? So let me ask you. When we offer our tithe, how do we really see it? Do we really give because we know that this is the best we give to the Lord as an honor to Him? We glorify Him. We're like, God, this is what you have given me. This belongs to you. And I know that I'm giving it with the right heart, the right attitude, and this is going to honor you. Or do we actually give and say, wow, you know, hopefully this will count as a tax deduction so that it can help my taxes next year. Hey, ACC. Did I make it on time? Can you make sure that it gets counted by the treasurer? And if we live like that, church, if we live on that kind of level, what do you think is going to happen with the rest of our offering? If that's exactly how we control our money, if that's exactly how we control our tithing, I can't even imagine what will happen when God says, I want your time. Give me your time. I want you to stop wasting your time in this. Do this for my mission. If that's how we see our own money, how in the world are we able to offer in the way that that Abel offered? Where God will regard our offering as pleasing to Him. If we want to thrive, church, if we want to flourish, it's going to be about the Lord. It's not going to be about you. If you want to flourish, if you want your life to thrive in a way, then it's got to be obeying faithfully the desires that God has for you and for me. You don't get to make that determination. You don't get to decide if God should be impressed. God does that. God will tell you if you are honoring Him. God will tell you if you are glorifying Him. But what I also love about God's response here to Cain is that it's full of grace. He actually didn't go to Cain and say, yeah, you're a loser. Yeah, your offering sucks. Yeah, I'm just going to kill you right now. He never said that. In fact, God's response to Cain was full of grace. He tells Cain, you want to know why I am not pleased? I'll tell you. Here you go. You did not offer your best to me. Somehow you made it about yourself, Cain. Somehow you made it all about yourself, and you chose to not give your entire existence to me. So just do it. Cain, you know what to do. Just do it. You see God's grace there? You see God giving Cain that second chance? He even warned him, just change your heart now. Change your life. Don't make it about yourself. Offer what you know you should offer to me. Offer it well. Live it out well. And I'll be so joyful that that's the kind of life you are living for me. And I will be honored. I'm giving you a chance, Cain. Just do it. But if you don't do it, watch out. Sin is right there. Sin wants to take over. Be careful, Cain. And church, this message is a message of grace for us. You know what you need to do as a follower of Christ. You know what you need to offer. You know the very things that you're holding because you want that for yourself. You are afraid to give it to the Lord, but God says, I want it. I want everything about who you are. It's an act of worship. Give. Trust me. Lean on me. I will guide you. See, God is very gracious to us. He's teaching us. He is telling us. He is instructing us to live by faith in order for us to thrive. Well, unfortunately, the story does not end well. Cain had that moment. He had that opportunity. He experienced God's grace, but his response to God was, I still want to be in control. And his way of being in control is he kills his sibling. And I know for me, that's a very powerful reminder because how often have I chosen to respond back to God and say, God, I hear you, and I'm still going to make it all about myself. And I took control. I took the situation by my hands, and I made a decision that's solely for my benefit. It has nothing to do with an act of worship to God. But we learn here that Abel, though his life ended prematurely, he is known by his faith that continues to speak from the ground. Even though he died, even though his life was taken away from him, the Bible tells us and teaches us that it's Abel and his voice and his blood that was sacrificed speaking to us today that we are called to live a life of offering that is very different from how you thought it might have been. That it is a life of offering that is made for God's glory and not for you. That it is a kind of offering that is risk-taking. That it's not easy. That it's not going to be convenient. But it's going to be a life where once you offer yourself daily to the Lord, not only will he be honored and magnified, but he will say, you are a good and faithful servant, and you will continue to fulfill the very mission I have for your life. If I can ask the music team to make their way back up here. In a moment, we're going to be responding in a song. But let's turn back again to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. And the writer of Hebrews understood the story of Cain and Abel in this way again. He says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. If you can just close your eyes. And we're going to respond, each one of us, in a moment of prayer, and then after that, in a moment of song. But the one thing that God is calling us right now to ask ourselves is this. Do we offer our lives in a way that truly honors God? Mr. Williams, that was his crossroads. And he's struggling. is struggling to know that what he is offering to God will actually please the Lord or not. Mr. Williams has big dreams for his son. Big dreams of success. Big dreams of playing this game that he loves to play. Yet there's something within Mr. Williams's heart that is making him wonder if what he is actually offering to the Lord is pleasing to him. For me as a parent, I wonder if what I am offering my two children to the Lord, am I truly offering everything back to God in the way that glorifies him? Or am I telling God what I think he should do for my two kids? We might be students right now, and we are offering our education and our careers and our dreams to the Lord, but what are we really offering? Are we saying to the Lord, God, here it is, everything. You do what you want to do in my life, and I will obediently follow? Or are we saying, God, I actually want to be this, or I want to have this kind of job, and here's my education, give me good grades so that I can fulfill these things and do what I want to do. We all can offer. But can we offer the very lives that God has desired from us so that he will be honored and glorified? Let's spend the next few moments just in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message this morning. Faith still speaks. Father, forgive me for the many times I have made my offering all about myself. Somehow I convince myself that what I am giving to you is pleasing to you, and in reality, it's the safest portions. It's the easiest portions. It's portions that I actually don't mind if I don't have it anymore. And maybe convince myself that you would be pleased. But God, for us to thrive, for us to live well for you, you are calling, you are desiring for our whole life, our whole existence. So Father, forgive me when I've only given you the things that are easy to give up. Because I know that you are calling me to give my whole life to you. To live for you, to honor you, to glorify your great name in this world. And I pray for all my sisters and my brothers here this morning that they will be encouraged and challenged to thrive well for you, to live by faith, which means the giving of their whole existence to you, to say that they live for you and for you alone, that their families belong to you, their children belong to you, their careers belong to you, their education belongs to you. Their resources belong to you. their lives belong to you. Continue to grow our church, to live for you and for you alone, to live by faith, to live by faith. Amen.
Stand together.